Harry was holding the door open for him, but he drifted through the wall instead. "Expecting what?" Harry asked as he closed the door. "You to come and find me," said Nick, now gliding over to the window and looking out at the darkening grounds. "It happens sometimes when somebody has suffered a loss." "Well," said Harry, refusing to be deflected, "you were right. I've come to find you." Nick said nothing. "It's," said Harry, who was finding this more awkward than he had anticipated. "It's just, you're dead, but you're still here, aren't you?" Nick sighed and continued to gaze out at the grounds. "That's right, isn't it?" Harry urged him. "You died, but I'm talking to you. You can walk around Hogwarts and everything, can't you?"
"Yes," said nearly headless Nick quietly. "I walk and talk, yes."
"So you came back, didn't you?" said Harry urgently. "People can come back, right? As ghosts. They don't have to disappear completely." "Well," he added impatiently, when Nick continued to say nothing.
Nearly headless Nick hesitated, then said, "Not everyone can come back as a ghost."
"What do you mean?" said Harry quickly.
Only wizards."
"Oh," said Harry, and he almost laughed with relief. "Well, that's okay then. The person I'm asking about is a wizard, so he can come back, right?"
Nick turned away from the window and looked mournfully at Harry. "He won't come back."
"Who?"
"Sirius Black," said Nick.
"But you did," said Harry angrily. "You came back. You're dead and you didn't disappear."
"Wizards can leave an imprint of themselves upon the earth, to walk palely where their living selves once trod," said Nick miserably. "But very few wizards choose that path."
"Why not?" said Harry. "Anyway, it doesn't matter. Sirius won't care if it's unusual. He'll come back. I know he will."
And so strong was his belief that Harry actually turned his head to check the door, sure, for a split second, that he was going to see Sirius, pearly white and transparent, but beaming, walking through it toward him. "He will not come back," repeated Nick quietly. "He will have gone on."
"What do you mean, gone on?" said Harry quickly. "Gone on where? Listen, what happens when you die, anyway? Where do you go? Why doesn't everyone come back? Why isn't this place full of ghosts? Why?"
"I cannot answer," said Nick.
"You're dead, aren't you?" said Harry exasperatedly. "Who can answer better than you?"
"I was afraid of death," said Nick. "I chose to remain behind. I sometimes wonder whether I oughtn't to have. Well, that is neither here nor there. In fact, I am neither here nor there."
He gave a small, sad chuckle.
"I know nothing of the secrets of death, Harry, for I chose my feeble imitation of life instead. I believe learned wizards study the matter in the Department of Mysteries."
"Don't talk to me about that place," said Harry fiercely.
"I am sorry not to have been more help," said Nick gently. Well, do excuse me. The feast, you know."
And he left the room, leaving Harry there alone, gazing blankly at the wall through which Nick had disappeared. Harry felt almost as though he had lost his godfather all over again, in losing the hope that he might be able to see or speak to him once more. He walked slowly and miserably back up through the empty castle, wondering whether he would ever feel cheerful again. He had turned the corner toward the fat lady's corridor when he saw somebody up ahead fastening a note to a board on the wall. A second glance showed him that it was Luna. There were no good hiding places nearby. She was bound to have heard his footsteps, and in any case, Harry could hardly muster the energy to avoid anyone at the moment.
"Hello,"
said Luna vaguely, glancing around at him as she stepped back from the notice. "How come you're not at the feast?" Harry asked.
"Well, I've lost most of my possessions," said Luna serenely. "People take them and hide them, you know. But as it's the last night, I really do need them back, so I've been putting up signs."
She gestured toward the notice board, upon which, sure enough, she had pinned a list of all her missing books and clothes, with a plea for their return. An odd feeling rose in Harry.
an emotion quite different from the anger and grief that had filled him since Sirius's death. It was a few moments before he realized that he was feeling sorry for Luna. "How come people hide your stuff?" he asked her, frowning.
"Oh, well," she shrugged. "I think they think I'm a bit odd, you know. Some people call me Loony Lovegood, actually."